If you would please turn in your Bibles, actually to two locations. If you would, first to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. And insert a placeholder there that we might go to it a bit later. Proverbs 16. And then to Psalm 37, where we will begin. Psalm 37, Proverbs 16. You know, my tendency is not to move a whole lot through the Bible, doing different passages on different occasions. I usually go verse by verse through. However, today is a particular day, being Commitment Sunday. And so I want to draw our attention to that and give some encouragement teaching in that light. Commitment Sunday, it is a day when we pledge our financial support for the 2014 operational season, operational year here at the church. The 2014 budget will be presented to you at a congregational meeting on December the 8th for your consideration. Most people, when we say the word Commitment Sunday, they immediately think tithing. That's immediately where we go. And I did bring in the budget, so that's where most people think. In part, I am going to speak about tithing, but commitment is so much more than just tithing. Now, tithing needs to be addressed, and I'll just be quite frank with you. You know many of the statistics as well as I do. Tithing is not a strong point for many Christians. Tithing in the last 5 years has dropped significantly in churches in general. And so it's a point that needs to be addressed. It's a point that needs to be discussed and brought out and prayed over seriously by each of us. But as I said, a larger issue is the overall commitment. That word commitment to the church, commitment to the Lord, commitment to His church, His body, His people, and the conduct of ministries therein. Commitment. As I referred to in the prayer, it's not a strength of many people today. Commitment to marriage. Divorce rates are unbelievable. And there's varying reasons, but one of those is commitments. The commitment, the idea of living together prior to marriage, for a long time, just can't get to that place of commitment, of walking down that aisle and making it so permanent. Let's just live in this temporary kind of thing. That way, if I change my mind, I'm out of it. I don't think that agrees with God's word in any way. Commitment. Commitment to work. Commitment to others. Chuck Colson passed away last year, I believe, wrote several years ago, "Certain characteristics are so inherent to Christianity that to neglect them is to become a walking oxymoron. A Christian without commitments is such an oxymoron. That's why I was so disturbed when a friend shared a statement from presidential candidates at a Christian college. When asked, what has changed the most in the past 20 years with young people who are entering college? All the candidates," and he made a point of saying all the candidates, "said that young adults today are far less willing to commit to anything." Now, let me police that just a bit. It is a very general statement, speaking of our young adults in our society. However, I know many young adults who do make commitments to school, and so we need to take it in that light. Also, I must police it by saying the lack of commitment is not confined to young adults. However, it is estimated that the young adults entering the workforce today will have upwards of 7 to 10 different employers over the life of their career. where individuals of my generation and older might have one or two, three at the most. And again, I'm making some huge generalities, and there's a lot to be involved in that. But speaking of commitment, I ask you the question, are we lacking in commitment? Commitment. Let's look to see what the Lord might say. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, a psalm of David, verses 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. Now, look at the progression. Trust. Trust. Delight. Trust leads to delight. The encouragement is to trust. The encouragement is to delight. Trusting leads to delight. It sounds okay so far, right? But then verse 5. Commit. Commit your ways. Commit your ways to the Lord and trust in him, and he will do this. Give you the desires of your heart is what he's referring to as the answer to he will do this. Commit. The whole course of life, or all that affects life, all our plans, all our conduct, all the issues or results of those plans, our role, this word commit, if I could take a huge boulder and roll it up on a platform, if I could take a huge mass and roll it up on a platform so that the platform holds the entire weight, the entire structure of that which I laid upon it, that's what that word commit means. I have laid everything about me in this context and rolled it upon the Lord, trusting him to carry, care for, and provide that entire structure. This is what the psalmist is saying. Commit your way. The course of our life, the manner in which we live, all of that is rolled upon the Lord. Everything in regard to the manner in which we live and their results are committed. Folks, this is faith. This is faith. Have we ever tied commitment to faith? I have great faith in the Lord. Well, have you committed everything of your life unto the Lord? Well, what does that mean? Everything. It is the act of faith in total and complete ways. In faith, we roll the entirety of our lives upon the Lord. In general, speaking, does that sound like the church today? Capital C, church, the global church. Some places, yes. Some places, a stark and resounding no. Making this personal. Does that sound like you? Does that sound like me? Have I taken the entirety of my life? Decisions, will, plans, and given them entirely through faith and trust in the Lord. And then I take delight in understanding the outcome of that is totally within and in the Lord. Now to Proverbs. If you would please turn to Proverbs 16. Now, the writer to the Proverbs was a wise old man. Proverbs are faith lived out, practicalities, pragmatic, practical stuff, living a life and seeing it lived. And he writes this, Proverbs 16, 1 through 3. To human beings belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. The writer to the Proverbs has a way of getting in, getting to the meat. Here the writer of Proverbs moves inside, and this is not action alone. This is motive. This is heart direction, will, motivations. Outwardly, as the Proverbs writer gives, we may seem pure. Outwardly, we may do the things that people would expect us to do. We look the part. But see, you know this whole idea of tithing. There's only one man in this room, and I pray for him constantly because it's a heavy weight. There's only one man in this room who knows the true financial ability, structure of this church. And let me tell you, as a pastor, and I hope he would attest to this, I stay as far away from that as possible. It is not mine. But tithing is done, you know, we don't talk about that. Do you pay your tithe? Well, that's none of your business. How much do you tithe? Well, now you're going too far now. And see, outwardly, we can turn into little white envelopes. We can write that. But we don't know. Others don't know. We don't know. But see, here, the writer of the Proverbs, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has gotten into motives. So what's in here? What's in here that drives and motivates you to commit to the church? What motivates you to not commit to the church? What moves you? Or lack of movement. Job 5:8 says, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause. Psalm 55, cast your burdens. There again is that idea of casting, of rolling upon the entirety of cast your burdens on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. Matthew 6, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? See, again, here's trust. The birds that, I love hawks, and we've gotten a hawk that has taken up residence around here. And you can hear him squawking out in the woods in the back, and he flies across. And I love the majestic nature of a hawk. He, within his instincts, seeks food. But he doesn't worry about tomorrow, has no concern of tomorrow. He's worried about the next few minutes, and that's it. These are Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount. The birds don't worry. They trust. They trust the creation around them and the mechanisms built up within that creation to provide for them fully. Are you not much more valuable than they? But let me push this commitment idea a bit further. Paul pushes this a bit further. Romans 12:1. Many of you have this memorized. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Now we're getting down to the idea of commitment. In view of God's mercy, do offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. See, all of this comes under the heading of worship. Is your worship a total commitment? Is your worship a total laying on of your life upon the the teachings or the ways, the will of God? Have I rolled upon Him everything about my life, worshiping Him, trusting in Him, putting total faith and trust in Him? And as I said, Paul pushes this further. He is now saying sacrifice. Sacrifice. Commitment is not out of your excess. To give out of excess is not a commitment. That's excess. Commitment means giving out of your essence, giving out of your being, giving out of your heart, committing everything, having faith and trust in God. Sacrifice. Commitment, sacrifice. Is this the characteristic of our lives? Is this the characteristic of your life? Commitment, sacrifice. There was a man who could not do this. There was a man in text who could not do this. Matthew 19, a familiar story. Listen closely. A man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do?" Remember the external. What must I do to get eternal life? "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one good. And if you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I've kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect..." Now remember, the idea of perfect in biblical text is not perfection. It's maturity, completeness. To be perfect means to be mature. So Jesus could say, "If you want to be mature in your faith, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. As I said last week, it is hard for the wealthy to commit to the Lord. This man could not commit. He was into performance. But when it came down to the necessity of laying everything of his life before the Lord and saying, "This is yours," he couldn't do it. Have we done that? Have we laid all of our fill in the blank before the Lord and said, "This is yours"? Let me ask you to take out that goldenrod colored insert I asked you to put away earlier. Just to put a bit of application and opportunity before you. On the one side, you see guiding principles for New Sterling, our biblical theme, our vision, our purpose, etc., our targets. We've had this around some years, but let me ask you to turn over on the back. Our actions, our ways of life. It's put in the context that we as the church will provide certain means and avenues for you. Move down below that. It says, "We the church pray that as members of New Sterling, each person can say the following." Notice the heading of each of the four categories. Commitment. I am committed to Christ. Let's do this as a test. I'm a teacher. I like tests, especially if I'm giving them. Let's do this as a test and briefly, quickly to yourself answer yes or no. I am committed to Christ. I am committed to learning about Him and His church. Level two. I am attending a periodic small group Bible study. This is under the aspect of maturity, being perfect. I am spending daily time with God. Yes or no? Ooh, here's that one. I am giving my financial resources to God. Yes or no? Level three, commitment to ministry, outgoing, outreach, outpouring. I am serving in ministry. Somewhere, I am seeking to grow in my area of gifting. Yes or no? Do you know your area of gifting? Would be an appropriate question here also. I am instructing others. You might say, well, I'm not a teacher. Ah. Life is instructing. Someone is watching. I am reaching out in love to those around me. We have an example of that today for some of you, as we have visitors in the church. Yes or no? Are you doing that? Commitment to multiplication. I am living an authentic Christian life. I am fulfilling my covenant responsibilities within my family. Yes or no? I'm sharing my faith stories. Are you going out? Not directly in outreach. Maybe directly in outreach. But in the life you live, where you are, do people know you're a Christian? I am bringing my unchurched or apathetic, those who have fallen away, those who have discord with the church, to the church. Now, here again is an easy test. Yes or no? How did you do? How did we do? How did I do when I answered, am I committed to the church? Now, we as officers of the church are to provide opportunities for you to do this, and I pray we are. Some areas we do well, some areas we need work. But underlying all this is the simple principle of commitment. And it is something that we're so afraid of. If I commit to it, then I might actually have to do it. Why is this necessary? Why is this level of commitment such a cornerstone of Christianity? Why is this level of commitment called for by the Christian? Paul says it well in 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Meaning, I am given to know nothing except for the work of Jesus Christ in my life. Well, Pastor Tim, what does that have to do with commitment? Look at that cross. Look at the cross. It is at the cross you see Jesus and His level of commitment. In that cross, you see His commitment to your salvation. It is at the cross you see His commitment to your freedom. It is at the cross you see His commitment to secure your eternity. It is at the cross you see His commitment to your life. It is all wrapped up in the cross. The cross is a reflection of the love and grace always, but it is also a reflection of the commitment of Jesus Christ to you. What does your commitment to Him reflect? Again, Proverbs 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Commitment, it is a substantial part of Christianity. We see it in our Lord. I pray we see it in us.